passenger seat and panicked. Rent was due, and I had bills to pay. My bank account was literally in the double digits. I'd always been great with money, knowing what I could and could not afford, but for the first time ever, I fucked up. Big time. What was I supposed to do now? Work at the bar was slow, as usual. I had a few regulars who would sit and complain to me. Wife troubles, women troubles, lack of women troubles, the usual. As pathetic as it was, though, I enjoyed their company. It helped pass the time. Although, like clockwork, every night that month, I was depressed, distraught, and drunk. I would down shot after shot just to get through my shifts, knowing that the end of the month was coming up, and it would only be a matter of days before there would be an eviction notice stamped on my door. My entire neighborhood was about to find out just how pathetic my life really was. While serving up another round of lemon drops and Coors Light one night, the bar door swung open to reveal a group of loud, rowdy, already drunk people. Music to my ears and my pocketbook. Madonna's Like a Prayer began playing in my mind as if these people were here to save me from my financial sins. Drunk people who like to throw their money around are every bartender's dream, and mine was about to come true. The group ordered Cristal and Louis XIV, cognac plus Cuban cigar after Cuban cigar. They partied for hours and hours as I tried to mentally tally how much I'd land up as a tip. I figured it would be at least a few $100s given the high ticket items that they were guzzling like water and sending up in smoke. It wouldn't be enough to cover the rent, but I figured maybe I could work out a deal with my landlord. When it was time for last call, I handed someone in the group the bill, and he handed it back. And my jaw dropped. This man tipped me $2,000 on the dot. Exactly what I needed to cover the purse. I'd never received a tip like that in my life, not even close. But on that particular night, I believed, and still do, that I made that purse mine with the combination of manifestation and hard work. And if it worked with one little bag, what else could I manifest? Years ago, Jason Oppenheim and I secured the listing on a fabulous home with an even more fabulous client. Crystal Hefner, Hugh's last wife, had been the owner since he passed in 2017. It was the last piece of real estate he ever purchased. You could just picture Crystal on the property, sunbathing on a raft in nothing but a skimpy string bikini, long blonde hair cascading out of her ponytail and skimming the water, a glass of Whispering Angel in hand. But make no mistake, this is not the picture of a gold-digging bimbo. Crystal was, in fact, a fellow boss bitch herself. She was using the property as a rental while living in a much more modest home and saving the rental income, hopefully at least 20% per my CQ guide to getting rich AF. And the house was stunning. Floor-to-ceiling glass windows wrapped around this modern, anything but humble abode. I had to make it mine. But how? At the time, I was barely scraping by, barely able to pay rent. I was juggling a handful of clients, but at this point, I had not yet closed on a property. In real estate, the biggest misconception is that we are paid a salary. But you don't make a single dollar unless you produce. And despite me desperately spinning my wheels and hustling as hard as I could, I wasn't there yet. I had even reined in my ego and started taking on rental properties just to create a consistent, tiny, trickling stream of income. So at this point, buying the house was about as far-fetched as selling it, which I was determined to do. I would sit at this property for open houses every Sunday and Tuesday from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. for months on end. But instead of getting hung up on how long it was taking and how much of my schedule it was eating up, I decided to put that time to work. I made that house mine. I made it my bitch. Every minute I sat there, I'd imagine myself living in these rooms. I'd perch on the couch and could practically see my as-yet non-existent husband, shirtless and jogging down the stairs, espresso in hand. I remember twirling around in the closet thinking, how in the hell am I supposed to fit all my shoes in here? For a nearly 7,000 square foot house, the closet was proportionally insulting. It would be one of the first things I would fix before I even moved in. And I thought up changes to the floor plan that I would review with my architect over chopped salads at La Scala. I would use the bedroom to answer phone calls and write emails just as if it were my very own bedroom. In my mind, it might as well have been. Every time I closed up for the day and walked out to the property, I would check the mail for Crystal and leave it on the counter. But seeing her name on the letters in the kitchen of the house that I wished was my own was too jarring for the mental picture I was trying to create. So one day, before a private showing, I decided to take my own mail to Crystal's property to get some work done and pay some bills. Then, boom, I had my first aha moment. This was the piece that was missing. I was doing everything I could to manifest the house. But just by sitting inside and pretending, I really was no better than a party crasher at best, stalker at worst. If I was going to get serious about manifesting this house, then I was going to have to put my stamp on it somehow, really trick my brain into believing that this was where I lived. As simple as it sounds, I started leaving my own mail on the counter. I was the only one regularly coming and going, so it wouldn't bother anyone, and I'd just clean up before showings. But when I'd walk in to set up, I drop my keys next to my stack of bills and issues of Harper's, Us Weekly, and Vogue. Honey, I'm home. I continued this routine for months and until the listing eventually expired. Despite all of our efforts to sell, it was the end of my real estate fantasy. Or so I thought. Fast forward to 2019. Christian, my then fiancé, and I were attending the annual ice polo match at the Badritz Palace Hotel in Switzerland. Without a home of our own at the time, we were drifters. We bounced between hotels and my two-bedroom apartment in Beverly Hills while we waited for something to catch our eye on the housing market. As you can imagine, after all those years of selling some of LA's most desirable houses and me being, well, me, I wouldn't settle for anything less than perfect. We were flying back to the States when I got an email notification ding from my phone that there was a new listing to see. I had created an auto notification for houses that matched our criteria, and this one was a standout. A modern, gated home, encased in glass, complete with a full pull-up motor court with enough space for 10 cars. Noteworthy, because in LA, it's rare to even find a garage, let alone space for one or two cars. And the price was an absolute steal. I knew we had to see it immediately after we landed. Walking up to the house, groggy and jet-lagged, I shuffled through the front door and my mouth dropped open. This was the exact same home I used to sit inside for months on end, trying to sell it, wishing it was mine. I hadn't noticed it from the listing because the staging was so different. Being inside now, it was unmistakable. Everything I had visualized so intensely for years had come true. But I'm not just lucky, and I didn't get any of this by magic. And I'm definitely not suggesting that you can lie around your apartment all day wishing for $1 million and it will show up in your mailbox. There's more to manifestation than just simply wanting something. You need to put in hard work. You have to earn it. I didn't just make a silly wish to get my dream home. I sat for days on end in that house, attending to thankless and commissionless open houses. I made life choices in line with that wish that one day would put me in the perfect position for it to come true. Whether it was eventually making my own money moves as a real estate agent or meeting the man of my dreams who checked off all the boxes. Kind, supportive, brilliant, and successful in his own right. I was also journaling, making vision boards, and working the steps of gratitude practice, all things we'll talk about later in this chapter, which perfectly aligned my wavelengths with the universe. Manifestation, or the practice of thinking big, diamond-studded aspirational thoughts with the goal of making them a reality, is like the perfect cocktail. It's just the right balance between choosing the right dream, as in ballsy and bold, and being as specific as possible, with a generous pour of hustle and a twist of magic. And if you don't believe that's possible for you, then you may as well skip the next chapter, or better yet, quit listening while you're ahead. Because that kind of small, shitty attitude will only manifest small, shitty things. And I want nothing to do with that. I do get, however, if you're feeling a bit skeptical, that's totally okay. But I didn't make this stuff up. It's even rooted in science. According to research conducted by Dr. Carol Dweck, a professor of psychology at Stanford University who's known for her work on mindset, believing you can do something makes it more likely that you'll be successful in doing it. She asserts that our beliefs about how what we can achieve and how we can succeed, what she calls our growth mindset, can actually affect whether we can make our desires come true. The main reason for this is that the more we truly, deeply, honestly know that we can achieve something, then we're willing to do the hard work to achieve it. That's a very different story than other favors of manifestation where some people will tell you that belief alone is enough. Research also shows that what we can hope to happen tends to be confirmed, or what's called a self-fulfilling prophecy. Heard of it? It basically means that if you expect something to happen, whether it's good or bad, the outcome is likely to go that way. Call me crazy all you want. People a lot smarter than me have found it to be true in their studies. But enough talk. Let's get down to it. What most people don't know about me is that when you're in my corner and are someone I care about, I will be your biggest cheerleader and supporter. And I love giving advice, hence this book. Plus, I'm really fucking good at it. It's the Libra in me. I'm the rock you can depend on and go to for guidance. That's why I love this chapter so much, because it's my number one recommendation when people come to me wanting to know how I've built this incredible life. Hands down, it's manifestation. It wouldn't be right to be the first chapter in this book because of all the preparatory work and setting the mental stage that's required, but it's definitely the most important one. It's where you're really going to start seeing your dreams come true. Trust in the process. Give it up to the universe, and we're going to get you there. There are a number of exercises that I love as part of my manifestation practice. Journaling, vision boarding, visualization, giving gratitude, and taking action. And we'll break down what each of them is and what they entail in a minute. But first, you have to learn the basics behind the manifesting. You have to understand and deeply and without hesitation what makes the magic work. Like I said before, now's not the time for limited thinking and doubt. That will only bring you more of the same in your life. This is the final stop before we dive in and summon all the riches that you deserve. So, make your choice. Are you in or are you out? Each of the manifestation methods described in this chapter have three things in common. You have to be super clear on what you want, you have to know why it means something to you, and you have to feel it so intensely in your bones that you can see, hear, taste, and feel it whenever you close your eyes. So now, you see the method to my madness. I'm not just a crazy bitch. There's a real reason I had you spend every single chapter leading up to this getting to know yourself, seeing the outcomes that you want, tasting the blood in the water like a motherfucking shark. Think of this as your graduation from boot camp and earning your fabulous scout badges. My little bitchy babies are all grown up and making the lives they want and deserve. Now get out there and make this mama proud. Here's what you need to do first, and then apply it to whatever manifestation method you choose. 1. Get crystal fucking clear. I'm talking down to the last Swarovski crystal on that baby pink dress you're wearing to the Cannes premiere of your first feature film. The universe can't deliver on wishy-washy whining. Instead, guide the universe with solid direction and intention. I get you might feel like you've lost your mind coming up with these far-fetched dreams, but you didn't always feel that way. Remember when you were a kid? Nothing was off the table when you were playing make-believe. You didn't wish you were a mermaid and then go, oh, but I guess that would never happen. You'd be one downer of a 4-year-old if you did. No, you splashed around in that tub with your purple iridescent tail, seashell bra, and Ariel hair, knowing in your little heart that you made one fucking amazing mermaid and that life was better with a little fantasy. Then you learned apprehensions as an adult. You were told over and over you were not able to reach for your dreams, but to reach for whatever was reasonable. What was expected? School, a job, a marriage, some kids. But what if you kept wishing you were still a mermaid? You might not live under the sea, but don't you think life could have a little more sparkle? Your job now is to go back to that child's mindset that believes anything is possible, and then see it from all angles. The same way a child would sit down to draw their superhero princess firefighter dreams. Because lucky for you, you can bring that magic back anytime you want. 2. Make it matter. Yeah. More money, more things, more love, more passion. We all want it all. What makes the difference between manifestation and just another wish in the fountain is why it matters to you. What about this particular goal would make life better? What would make it significant in your life in particular? Think about how exactly you'd use that money. Would you pay off student debt? Would you see the world and use the experiences to launch your writing career? Would it be fuck you money? Showing anyone in your life who said you never amount to anything that they're a big fucking idiot? If you found the person of your dreams, what would that mean for your life? Would every day be a little more beautiful because you could share things that make you happy with someone else? Or if you finally got that house or apartment you've been salivating over, how would that give you a leg up in life? Would it mean that you could throw parties for people you love in order to celebrate how much they matter to you? Would it make a better life for your family? I want you to really dig in here. The universe knows when you're manifesting something meaningful and special versus a goal that's shallow. I mean, you know, I'm a material girl, but all the big glossy things I've manifested into my life were so I could build an outside that matches the inside. And as we've discussed at length now, the more you live in your truth, the more giving, more generous, more loving you can be. Putting that kind of energy and intention out into the world sends positive wavelengths far and wide. So don't just think of it as making your own dreams come true. Think of it as making the world a better place. If you're being honest about that, the universe will answer. I also want you to use this step of the process to really connect with whether your goal is the right fit for you. Is it truly what you want? Or is it what someone else wants for you? Or what you think you should want? Will it make you feel happy and fulfilled? Things that you believe in and have more positive associations with are more likely to be answered. 3, let's get visual. There was an amazing study done on visualization and Olympic athletes and how picturing the act of something can affect actual results. For days and days, every single day, these elite runners would loop around the track for practice, doing the same circuit over and over again, round and round. Then, the researchers took them into a lab and hooked them up to a brain scanning technology and asked them to run the track in their minds as if they were doing it in real life. So, they sat there and envisioned it. Ready, set, go. The whole deal. They ran the track in their brains the way they'd done it thousands of times before. Next, they went back out to the track, still hooked up to the brain scanner technology, so they could actually run. And you know what? The scan showed that the brain could not tell the difference when the athletes were running or just running the track in their minds. That's how powerful visualization is. It's the literal proof of setting your mind to something. And when it happens, it's putting a powerful plan into motion. The more clearly you can see your new bag, car, job, partner, body, life in your mind's eye, the more of an immediate emotional connection you'll have with it. And the more intensely you'll be leading the manifestation charge from the very bottom of your soul. That kind of confidence and conviction is what screams to the universe, "Lay it on me, bitch!" This is why getting clear about your goals is the first step of the manifestation process. You can't visualize something in the most intimate detail if you don't know exactly what you want. By the time you start introducing your manifestation goals to your brain, they should be as fully formed as possible. Like I said, down to the last freckle on your dream man's shoulder, letterhead of your dream job position, cabinet poles in your dream kitchen, and flecks of sand on your dream beach. Manifestation method 1, journaling. When most people think of journaling, they think of slipping into their jammies, sipping on some wine, and spilling the day's events. Dear journal, today I took a shower, had coffee, went to work, ordered takeout, and texted that cute guy I met Saturday. And we watched the entire first season of F-Boy Island. Aw, so sweet. But also, so boring. If this is you, then you're at a 5 right now, and we need you at a 10. The journal isn't just for what happened in your life. It's for what's going to happen in your life. I've always kept a journal, but at one point, I realized two things. I was spending most of my time either complaining about things that I didn't like, mostly the bitches at the office, let's be honest, or just parroting back the events of the day. I lived my life, wrote it down, done. But there was no intention behind it. Nothing shifting the cycle or moving the needle. I was only calling in more of the same at best, or more negativity at worst. So, a few years ago, I started experimenting with jotting down what I did that day, and then sprinkling in some things that I wanted to happen alongside with what was actually happening in my life. I just sandwiched these teeny tiny white lies between truths so they blended in seamlessly. For example, take what I did to manifest a Vogue cover. I'd say something like, "Today I went out for my usual macadamia matcha latte," true. "Then I met my stylist for a brainstorming sesh for some new looks for my upcoming Amalfi trip," true. "I'm so excited to be taking the baby and Christian on his first trip to Europe," also true. "Then, OMG, I got a call to be on the cover of Vogue. I can't believe it. My dream has finally come true." Teeny tiny white lie. Sure enough, 6 months ago, it happened. The cover of Vogue. No one gets that. It's impossible. But It was a personal goal of mine that I lived out in my manifesting over and over. Or maybe I'd say something like, I spent the morning cuddling with baby Christian before getting up to do an extra sweaty yoga session with my trainer. I wrapped up just in time to get a call from my publisher, who was ringing to let me know that my book had officially hit the New York Times bestseller list. Then I snuck in a couple of interviews before giving myself the afternoon to have a relaxing lunch with friends. See what I did there? Ever since I knew that my next goal was to be an author, scratch that, a New York Times bestselling author, I'd work that into my daily entries. Over time, this has a powerful effect on your brain, and eventually, your brand. It's creating these affirmations for your mind, which doesn't know the difference between what you're writing on paper and the reality that you're living. Eventually, the lines begin to blur on what's really real and what's not. Meanwhile, your brain is completely on board with this new and improved version of you. You actually start living your life as though these things are real. That's the secret sauce to starting to invite incredible changes. So, I want you to dedicate at least 5 minutes a day to journaling. Buy yourself a journal that's pretty and special feeling. Splurge on one that seriously feels like a treat to open and write in. One that sits on your nightstand and looks worthy of capturing your deepest, most urgent desires. This journal is a magic portal to creating the future of your dreams. And I'm sure that janky notebook that you used for a high school calc is not going to offer the kind of pixie dust that we're looking for. Throw in a pen, too. The extra nice kind with the ink that's smooth as silk. Then treat this practice like it's sacred. Do it every single night or morning, whatever, because you have to do it every day. In the beginning, it might feel strange to be writing about things that haven't really happened, but you'll be surprised how quickly it'll start to seem completely natural, especially if you've chosen these aspirational elements wisely. They should seem like the part of life that you were born for. Because you were. Stick with this for at least 21 days, which is how long it takes to form a habit. After that, it'll feel like a necessary part of your day that's as essential as brushing your teeth or your 10-step skincare routine. Manifestation method 2. Vision boarding. Like many of my manifestation practices, I didn't really know this was even a thing or had a name when I started doing it. For me, I saw it was a way to make a sort of checklist, a collage of all the things I wanted to achieve. Made all the more real because every day I could look at something concrete versus just the fantasies in my head. I had all these goals for what I wanted my life to look like. Incredible places I wanted to go. Fashion with all that extra drip. The works. So, as I would see the exact images of things in magazines or online, I'd clip them out and tack them onto a board. There was the $40,000 a night suite on the beach in Cabo. Flying first class on Lufthansa, drinking champagne and eating chilled caviar, the black Rolls Royce that I really wanted, even the Daytona Rolex that I was lusting after. I got really, really specific. Then I tucked it away in my closet. mainly because, again, I had no idea that I was sending up some kind of bat signal into the universe and didn't really think about it until 2 or 3 years later. I unearthed it one day, took that baby out, and I shit you not, every single thing had come true. At the time I made the board, each of these things was completely unachievable, laughable even. My husband drove that exact same car. I had that Rolex. I had even been on that exact vacation, but with the wrong guy, unfortunately, because I hadn't been specific enough. Again, I don't credit some kind of bogus hocus pocus for this. I truly believe it's because I'd gotten so insanely specific that my brain started sending my body some kind of directions, like I actually changed my programming. Then I went out and made that shit happen. It's like if Practical Magic and Working Girl had a baby. A little enchantment mixed with sheer scrappiness and force of will. Over time, I tweaked my process to combine vision boarding and journaling, since they're a tag team manifestation power couple. Even though I'm such a visual person, I find writing things down to be really powerful too. So I would make a board, but also write things in with Sharpie, like, I'm so thankful my husband is so amazing. He's so funny, he's so loyal, he's so this, he's so that, he looks like that. Or, I'm so grateful for this house that I love. It's 4 bedrooms, 5 bathrooms, and right on the beach. Even if it's just a few little sentences that declare what you're looking for, it helps leave nothing open to interpretation. Because as we know, the universe is a very literal creature, and she can be a bit of a tricky bitch. Another version I like to play with too is a vision board that incorporates my schedule and actual plans that are in the works. I use a trifold poster board and label each section with an upcoming month. June, July, August, for example. Then I'll write down the big things I have going on that month, along with a list of goals for each one. So, for example, I'll pencil in my cover shoot for Grazia magazine, a timeline for my makeup campaign that's coming out, and a photo shoot for my book cover. All these things are real and happening, so my brain is already churning out the planning. I harness that momentum to aim a little higher and sprinkle in some things on my wish list. For example, I might pencil in interview with creative directors for clothing line, brainstorm meeting for my own TV show, or research trip to Morocco. Some are feasible, while others are shooting for the stars, but you write it all down. And if something doesn't happen that particular month, then just roll it over into the next month. It's an amazing way to break up some loftier goals into more achievable segments and keep you on track to get exactly where you want to go. Meanwhile, your brain is getting used to seeing the goals that you have achieved checked off next to the goals that you're still working for. Because as we know by now, your brain is a super powered machine that can see past, present, and future all at the same time. Or if you're looking to get super focused on a specific area of your life, you can make a mini board just for that manifestation. A great example of this is when I used a mini board to call in money. When I first started in real estate, I received a check for $8,000 on some lease I did. I wrote over that amount with a Sharpie, so it became a new check to Christine Quinn for $100,000 from the Oppenheim Group, just for visualization purposes. I put the check on a shelf in my closet and looked at it every single day. Do I realize how ridiculous this sounds? Yes. A check for $100,000? That was an insane amount of money for a baby agent. Hell, it's an insane amount of money now. But as you know, I dream big. And I kept that check right in my line of sight while working hard at my job. After about a year, when I finally got my first listing, I sold that house, and a few weeks later, I got a check from the Oppenheim Group for $83,000. Close enough, right? I come across that check every so often and just cry. Tears of happiness, tears of joy, tears of knowing that for once in my life, I am finally the one in control. There's no wrong way to make a vision board. Do it the way that feels most natural to you. If you're starting out, go old school with a poster board, a glue stick, and some magazine cutouts. Over time, hone your style and what feels most powerful. Before getting started, take a minute and get really clear on what you want to bring into your life. Think about all the biggies: travel, life, home, and career. Next, start looking for images in magazines, online, and so on. Google can be your best friend. But again, you need to be specific with your overall vision. When I added a picture of a bride and a groom to my board, I pasted my head on the bride's body. Ain't no other bitch gonna catch my man. Don't just settle for some generic version of your life that totally defeats the purpose. Regardless of how you create your board, make sure you're consistently looking at your masterpiece. Just as with journaling, the more you do this and the more you convince yourself that you're gazing at your future in the magic ball, the more likely it is that all of your dreams will come true. Manifestation method 3, visualization. I learned the following exercises years ago, and I think it's a great starting point if you're new to manifestation. It's also a good one to use if you had a hard time sitting still, like I do, since it's shorter than meditation and involves active imagining instead of having to clear your mind. Yeah, never been too good at that. This girl needs her mental checklists. Visualization, or picturing your goals as if you're watching them happen in real life, is similar to journaling or vision boarding in that you're, not to sound like a broken record here, getting specific, making it meaningful, and then giving your goals the kind of visuals that align your brain and body. I love using visualization when I'm just waking up and I'm still lying in bed, or just before I fall asleep. Since I'm already relaxed, laying down, all I need to do is close my eyes and get into the manifesting zone. I'd reach for this technique a lot when I was transitioning out of my acting career. Some actors even referred to it as method acting, but I still wanted to find a way to be on TV, and I definitely used it to tune in when manifesting my Vogue cover. I picture myself on the cover itself, writing about it on social media, even getting a copy in the mail and displaying it on the mirror in my styling room. Try this exercise with your own dreams and desires. You'll see what a jolt your manifesting gets once you've completely gotten into your body and on the universe calling wavelength. Start by laying down in a comfortable spot, your bed, the terrace of your Italian villa, the deck of your yacht, the usual. You're going to scan your entire body, checking in with all your big bits, head, belly, arms, hands, legs, feet, just enough to bring your attention there. There's no wrong way to do this. So if you're feeling restless from head to toe, that's okay. This will get easier the more you do it. Be patient with yourself. The idea is to take you out of your head and into your body just long enough to feel really grounded, which is what's going to make your mind super sharp. You can make this part of the process as long as you want to and go through dozens of body parts, or if you're tight on time and want to make sure you sneak this into your day, just hit the biggies. First, bring attention to the top of your head. What does it feel like right now? Noisy, quiet, calm, anxious, no judgment, just notice. Then move down to the space between your eyebrows. Is it tense, relaxed? Need a shot of Botox? JK. Now, feel your eyes. Are they rolling around behind your eyelids? Shifting left, right? Are they heavy and still in the sockets? Feel your breath. Is your stomach rising and falling? Or are you breathing into your chest? Are your breaths quick and shallow, or long and deep? Now, focus on your fingers. Are they moving? Still? Where are they resting on your body? How do your legs feel? Are they heavy? Antsy? What about your feet? Once you're done with this body scan, it's time to start tuning in to your desires on whatever it is you want to manifest. If you're still feeling restless, a trick I like to use to get out of my head is to imagine myself walking up a long hallway of stairs. Whatever those stairs look like is up to you. Visualize yourself walking up 100 stairs and count each step in your mind as you do it. This will help you settle down your mind from the day and inhibit useless thoughts or anxiety-inducing information from popping into your head. Continue counting your steps until you've reached the top at the 100th step. Then, that is when the visualization begins. Whatever you do, don't start manifesting until you have reached the 100th step and have cleared your head. Then, it's time to let your mind take it away. Think about it like a movie that you're playing for yourself in your mind. Watch yourself actually experiencing the things that you want. Boarding that plane, finding your seat, flying over the mountains as you descend down on that swanky ski resort. See the clothes you're unpacking from your suitcase, the creamy cashmere sweaters, Chanel ski boots, and après ski fashion. Or maybe it's walking into the first day of your new job, the view from your office, the sound of your assistant answering your phone. Alternatively, you could use this more simple visualization technique that's helpful when you find yourself in a negative space and need to shake yourself out of it. Let's say you want to leave a job or a relationship or any other stuck-in-a-rut situation. You can even use this technique if you just want to get rid of negative thoughts that's taking up space in your head, like self-doubt, bad vibes about a person, or anxiety about an upcoming event. Here's how you'll do. I want you to revisit those stairs and visualize a white staircase. Any kind will do. Super modern, cottage chic, whatever. Just make it stairs and make them white. Now, visualize yourself walking down that staircase toward a door with a big red exit sign above it. As you watch yourself walking down that white staircase, counting each stair for focus, tell yourself, I'm going to walk down these stairs, and when I walk out of that door, I'm no longer going to be worried about that project, man, job, situation. Really own that statement and believe it to be true. Then, when you've quieted all the voices, those bright white stairs will fade to black. And as you hear the sound of the door slamming behind you, imagine that you're closing the door on your anxieties and locking it tight. Leave all that shit behind and don't turn back. This is particularly important because remember, the universe can't hold up its end of the bargain if you're gunking up your messaging with hang-ups, holdbacks, grudges, and other negative thinking. Manifestation method 4, bring the action. I like to think of this as extra credit, the secret sauce. It's what I believe has taken all of my manifestation practices over the edge from fantasy into reality. While, yes, getting your brain on board with your goals is a super important element of manifestation, so is putting that shit into high gear. And the way I like to do that is through dedicated action. Your actions every single day need to replace what you want. For example, after this book got picked up by my publisher, I asked my sister, who helps me out with these things, to send flowers thanking them for taking a chance on me and my message. She asked me what I wanted the card to say. So I told her, I'm so excited for this journey and I look forward to this New York Times bestseller. She was a little confused, but I needed it to be in writing. I'm always doing things like that, and I don't care if I look fucking crazy. After that, I made my own mock-up of my book's cover, and I put New York Times bestseller across the top. I put that image as the wallpaper on my phone, and every time I walked by an airport bookstore, I'd stop for a minute so I could imagine my book right there on the new releases shelf. Like anything in life, if you want something to happen, you have to get out there and make it work. I like to think that taking action towards what you're manifesting is also like shaking something loose in the universe. It's kind of like getting off the track you're on. The well-worn path that led you directly to more of the same, and then challenging the universe to rewrite your story as it tries to keep up with where you're walking. Maybe my story didn't originally have me rocking a presidential Rolex with a diamond bezel, but I got the attention of the Cosmic Writers Room by having a picture from the catalog handy, so the image was seared into my brain and going to try it on in the store multiple times. I combined that with putting in the extra hustle at work, challenging myself to make more connections and pick up a few extra clients, all with my eye on the blinged out prize. I put the wheels in motion, and the universe packaged it all up into a beautiful emerald green leather box. Manifestation method 5. Start a gratitude practice. This isn't technically about manifestation, but it's something that I regularly practice, and I highly recommend that you do too, because it's another powerful way to shape your life and everything in it. It's not just a powerful way of dealing with the shit that life regularly throws at us. Difficulties, anxiety, frustration, basic bitches at the office, or is that just me? But you can also think of it as a way of making your own beacon to the universe shine a little brighter. I mean, if your head isn't all mucked up with stress or anger, it's going to connect much more strongly with your manifesting frequencies. Also, when you take a moment to appreciate the abundance that you already have in your life, you're not just showing up to the universe empty-handed, whining about all the things that you don't have. If there's one thing that divine intervention doesn't vibe with, it's an attitude of lack. It doesn't want to hear how it lets you down, because it hasn't. It wants you to hear about all the magic that you are creating and will continue to create with a little cosmic assist. And the best way to do that is with gratitude. It's really that simple. Be grateful. Say thank you. It's not bullshit. It's impossible to get caught up in the bad vibes if you're simultaneously feeling hashtag blessed. For example, not so long ago, I had this horrible fight with one girl. I mean, I wasn't in a fight. She came at me. She was all up in my face saying, fuck you this and fuck you that. The old me would have gone off. Like, let me tell you what a bitch you are, you fucking bitch. But instead, I was able to stay totally calm. All I could think in my mind was, I actually feel bad for you because I have a baby and a husband at home who I really want to spend time with. Even in the thick of all that drama, I could reach for all the gratitude. I had way too much to be happy about to let any bullshit get in the way. The entire way home, instead of focusing on that psycho bitch, I was like, this bitch has a Rolodex of failures when I have all these things to be grateful for. I'm grateful for my husband. I'm grateful for my baby. I'm grateful to get to go home to them. Know what I mean? I work a gratitude practice two ways. First, I like to call in gratitude all the time, making sure the tank is always filled. That way, if I find myself surrounded by negativity, have you seen my show? Or being attacked by negative people, same question. I'm locked and loaded with a high vibe frequency. I do this by taking a moment whenever I can, when I'm driving, when I'm practicing yoga, when I'm getting my hair and makeup done in my glam room, or when I'm sipping a pint of draft Guinness at the end of a long day. Surprise, it's not all Dom for this girl. It doesn't have to take a long time. It just has to take up meaningful space in your brain for a moment or two. I run through the list, baby, man, house, job, and just in a minute, I'm buzzing with gratitude for what I have and excitement for what can come in the future. The other way I work in more gratitude is by using it to create a shift in my brain if I find myself having negative thoughts. Even when I'm surrounding myself with positivity and a sunny attitude, I can still get sucked into the petty bullshit, anxious thoughts, or other downer cycles. That's when I reach for the remote and just change the channel. I think about things that make me happy. Baby Christian, aww. Read a book I'm loving, anything by my girl Lauren Weisberger, or watch a feel-good movie. The Devil Wears Prada. I'm telling you, that Lauren can do no wrong. Go for anything that gives you instant gratification, whether that's playing video games, baking cookies, or knitting a fucking blanket. Then, when your mind is no longer fixated on whatever shitty situation has been living rent-free in your brain, start filling it with new, positive thoughts. Because I have so much practice training my brain to not get caught up in that glitch, I can luckily snap out of it pretty easily. Over time, you'll see how seamlessly you can switch from the negative to the positive too. Chapter 8, The Shame Sham. Women shaming women is not a mind-blowingly new concept. Most women do it without even noticing it. Some do it as a hobby, and others do it like it's an Olympic fucking sport. But here's the deal. It's hard enough being a woman in a mansplaining, appearance-obsessed world, so I say we all agree to put an end to the bullshit once and for all. And maybe, just maybe, we can lift each other up with kindness and compassion instead, starting with ourselves. Don't worry, I'm not getting all kumbaya on you. Patchouli definitely doesn't go with this Prada. But if you're gonna reach your full boss bitch potential, then that little voice in your head that automatically criticizes other women has got to go. Because if we're really being honest with each other and ourselves, that little voice comes from something you probably just don't like about yourself. And we're not about that life. Instead, you want to have a shot at leveling up, you need to lean into your biggest, baddest, most authentic self. And you know what that doesn't include? Getting up in other people's business. Take it from me. I've experienced every form of shaming that exists. Slut shaming, body shaming, plastic surgery shaming, bitch shaming. It's not easy out there for a larger-than-life boss bee who knows her mind, loves her body, and isn't afraid to own when she's had a little work done to make that exterior match the fabulous interior. I'm a big-time believer that the way you want to put yourself out into the world is exactly the way it should be, and no one else has say in that. So, if you're out there yucking up someone else's yums, you have to ask yourself, why? What feelings come up for you? Are you angry? Jealous? I know it can seem like a cop-out to say, you're just jealous. But so many of us women feel like we're not allowed to really let our light shine. So when we see someone else who does this and is out there fucking owning it, it can be a little hashtag triggering. That's why I want to devote a chapter to really looking at what's keeping you back from being the biggest, brightest bitch out there. Because this is officially your permission to do that, no matter what that looks like for you. And that starts with shutting the fuck up about other women, turning that energy inward, and figuring out how you want to live your most authentic life. We have to do better. Here is how we start. In order to put an end to the shame game, you need to do three things. Number one, make peace with the girl in the mirror. Number two, build other women up. Number three, call out the haters. You know I can be a little naughty when it comes to being in it for the drama, but I never do it at the expense of bringing someone else down for bringing them down's sake. It's always rooted in truth. You know how they say justice is blind? She most definitely is not. She's an eagle-eyed bitch who knows petty bullshit, and when she sees it, she isn't afraid to call it out. Just look at her standing there with her Halston-inspired gown and fabulous scales. She most definitely knows what's up. But she's not about tearing down a bitch just to make herself feel better. No. She's about holding up the things that matter. Fairness, accuracy, and righteousness. How can we be more like Lady J? Let's start with making little love to ourselves. Step 1. Make peace with the girl in the mirror. I didn't always feel beautiful. Maybe it was because I was gawky and awkward from the time I hit puberty. Or maybe it was because people treated me like shit because I didn't look like the popular girls at school. It made me go to such a negative place, resenting other girls for being prettier or for boys liking them, even though they were totally basic.